our scripture lesson today is from the New Testament. It is Acts 16, 16 to 34. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a deviation and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing the city, and they are Jews. And they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them secure. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened up and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his home and house. At that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. And he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Thank you, Lord, for the word you have given us, and this is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the Old and the New Testament and for these words in particular that we heard this morning. And as we ponder them, we ask that your Spirit work within us and amongst us so that we may come to understand and to live these words. Amen. One day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not get across on her own. And the first monk kindly offered, "We will carry you across if you'd like." And she said, "Thank you," accepting their help. So the two men joined hands and lifted her between them and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down and she went on her way. And so the monks continued on their way as well. And after they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river, and my back still hurts from lifting her, and I can feel it getting stiff." The first monk just smiled and nodded his head, and they continued walking along. And a few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again, "My back is hurting me so badly. It is all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of the pain." And the first monk looked at his partner, who was now lying on the ground moaning. "Have you wondered why I am not complaining?" he asked. And then he said to his partner, "Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman, but I set her down 5 miles ago." I wonder if that is true for many of us as well, that we keep carrying our pains, our grudges, our resentments like some great burden, a burden that should have been set down 5 miles ago. I thought of this story when I read the passage from Acts that we heard this morning. Paul is on his second missionary journey, this time with Silas as his companion. The two of them traveled to Philippi, where they continued their work of bringing the gospel of Christ to the people. While there, they run afoul of the local business people, and they are thrown in jail for advocating what these businessmen said was unlawful customs. But for Paul and Silas, jail is just merely another venue for preaching the good news. They spend the night with the other prisoners singing psalms and praying prayers. And then an earthquake strikes and it opens the jail door. But Paul and Silas and the others stay put rather than escaping to their freedom. The jailer, upon seeing the open doors, is about to kill himself because of his apparent dereliction of duty. But before he can do it, Paul shouts, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." And then, in a most unusual twist in the story, the jailer, marveling at the behavior of his prisoners, asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Which proves to be an interesting role reversal. By outward appearances, Paul and Silas were the ones imprisoned, and the jailer was the one who was free. But in reality, it is the jailer who discovers that he must be released, and Paul and Silas have the way to release him. It is Paul and Silas who release the jailer. Which takes me back to the story of the two monks. Most of the time, what imprisons us isn't walls or bars or locks and keys, but it is the burdens that we nurse, the grudges that we hold, the resentments that we keep. These are the walls that hold us in, that keep us from moving on, that restrain our growth. But there is a difference, because we are in this position, but we don't always see the walls that we have put up. What we see is the hurt that someone did to us, the boss who rejected our promotion, the neighbor who talked behind our back, the friend who didn't come to our party. The resentment builds and the wounds fester. And we are in a jail of our own making. There's a story of a merchant in a small town who had identical twin sons. The boys worked for their father in the department store he owned. And when the father died, they took over the store. Everything went well until one day a dollar bill disappeared. One of the brothers had left the bill on the cash register and walked outside with a customer. When he returned, the money was gone. And he asked his brother, "Did you see that dollar bill on the cash register?" And the brother replied that he had not, but the young man kept probing and questioning. He would not let it alone. "Dollar bills don't just get up and walk away. Surely you must have seen it." And there was a subtle accusation in his voice. Tempers began to rise. Resentment set in. Before long, a deep and bitter chasm divided the two brothers. They refused to speak to each other. They finally decided that they could no longer work together, and a dividing wall was literally built down the middle of the store. For 20 years, the hostility and the bitterness grew, spreading to their families and to the community. And then one day, a man in an automobile with license plates from another state stopped in. He walked in and asked the clerk, "How long have you been here?" And the clerk replied that he'd been here all his life. And the customer said, "Well, I must share something with you. 20 years ago, I was riding the rails and came into this town in a boxcar. I hadn't eaten for 3 days, and I came into this store through the back door, and I saw a dollar bill on the cash register, and I put it in my pocket and walked out. All these years, I haven't been able to forget. And I know it wasn't much money, but I have to come back and ask for your forgiveness." This stranger from out of state was amazed to see tears well up in the eyes of the middle-aged man. And the middle-aged man said, "Would you go next door and please tell that same story to the man in that store?" Which he did. And then the man headed back to his car, but as he turned around and looked, he was even more amazed to see two middle-aged men who looked very much alike, embracing each other and weeping together in front of their two stores. After 20 years, the brokenness was finally allowed to mend. The wall of resentment that divided them had begun to come down. Usually, these walls aren't literal, but they are just as real. And we are fully capable of supporting these walls for years and even decades. In the first church I served, at one of the annual meetings, the senior pastor's salary came up for review. And after the personnel committee made a recommendation of an increase, several of the members got up to praise the pastor's work and concur with the raise. And then one man got up and launched into a vicious attack on the pastor, and he listed all the things the pastor did poorly. The congregation sat in stunned silence until finally one of the wiser members stood up and asked the complaining man how long this had been going on. And the man said, "Ever since the pastor came 15 years ago." And the other man asked, "Well, if the angry man remembered the first time he was upset with the pastor?" And the man said, "I sure do. It was when he preached a sermon against the Vietnam War." And this wise elder said to the man, "Bob, our boys left that war a decade ago. Do you suppose you might leave it as well?" For 15 years, Bob had resented that sermon and let that resentment fester. 15 years he was the one in jail, and many of us do the same thing. The problem is, even when we know that we are locked in our own resentments, we don't know how to get out. Harry Houdini, the famed escape artist, issued a challenge wherever he went. He could be locked in any jail cell in the country, he claimed, and he could set himself free quickly and easily. And he always kept his promise to the various places he visited that decided to take him up on that challenge. But one time, something went wrong. Houdini entered the jail in his street clothes. The heavy metal doors clanged shut behind him. He took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, strong and flexible, and he set to work immediately on the lock, but something seemed to be unusual about this lock. For 30 minutes, he worked and got nowhere. An hour passed, and the door still did not open. By now, he was bathed in sweat and panting in exasperation, but he still could not get that lock open. Finally, after laboring for 2 hours, Houdini shook the door in frustration, and when he did, the door swung open. It had never been locked. But in his mind, it It looked locked. And all to keep him from out of the jail was just opening the door and walking out. And it is that simple, really. One has to see to know the secret. When the jailer saw Paul and Silas still in the cell, even though escape was possible, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." With Jesus, the world can look different. We can see others as the human beings they are, with both the faults and the strength that God gave them. We can see them as all as children of God. With Jesus, those jail doors that hold us back will swing open. And what seemed so important for years will suddenly become unimportant. With Jesus, we can ask ourselves, why are we still holding on to these grudges? With Jesus, we can look at those resentments that we hold and ask ourselves, isn't there something more worth our time and energy? So the question our texts ask this morning is, who is your jailer, and when are you going to release him?